My name is Samantha Kahn, and I work for a program called the Community Capacitation Center at Multnomah County Health Department, and I'm going to ask my co-presenter to introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Bridgetha Gounker, and I'm the coordinator of the Health Promotion Change Process at Multnomah County Health Department.
And the title of our presentation is Empowering Health Promotion as a Vehicle for Achieving Health and Health Equity, the Health Promotion Change Process at the Multnomah County Health Department. And I think this is going to follow well with Derek's presentation, because we're really looking at how we can orient a whole public health department toward this kind of empowering community capacity building work that has the ultimate goal of reducing health inequities, everything from tobacco-related health issues to low birth weight to teen pregnancy, asthma, and so on. And we have no relationships to disclose. So first, we'll start with a little context about our health department. Multnomah County Health Department is located in Multnomah County, a primarily urban county in the northwestern corner of Oregon. It includes the city of Portland and nearly one-fifth of the state's population. MCHD is the local public health authority for all the county, and we're also the local, the largest local safety net provider in the county. We have the state's largest F2HC. And there are over 900 staff working across five different service areas. So we have a few objectives for our presentation today. We hope that by the end of the presentation, you'll all be able to articulate the connections between empowering health promotion and health equity. Also to explain how a community practice model can be used to implement a change management process at an organization. And finally, describe how popular education principles and methods can be used to translate progressive health promotion theory into practice at a local health department. So first, though, we'd like to get to know who's in the room today. Would you please raise your hand if you work at a state or local public health department? Or stand up. Yeah. What about academics? All right. Anybody from a hospital setting here? Okay. What about social services? Okay. Any students? All right. Community-based organizations? Did I miss anybody? Oh, all right. All right. Cool. Welcome, everybody. Okay, we have a few more questions for you all. So stand up or raise your hand if health inequities exist in your community. Yeah. Stand up or raise your hand if you've ever engaged a community around a health issue that matters to its members. All right. And finally, stand up or raise your hand if you or your organization has ever made efforts to involve staff at different levels in decision making. So clearly, health inequities exist in all the communities where we all hail from. And it looks like, from the show of hands around the room, that you've all engaged in some kind of empowering health promotion, both inside and outside of your organizations. And this is what the health promotion change process is all about. So first, we'd like to share with you a couple definitions, so you know what we mean when we say the words health promotion and empowerment. This is our definition of health promotion here, the process of enabling people to increase control over and to improve their health. This comes from the World Health Organization's Ottawa Charter for Health Promotion from 1986. And just a show of hands, is anybody familiar with this document, the Ottawa Charter? Okay. It outlines a comprehensive framework for health promotion that integrates health services, personal skills, supportive environments, public policy, and community actions. And it's different from previous conceptions of health promotion that were really focused on individual behavior change. And this is the framework that really drives the work we do at Multnomah County Health Department. And the definition of empowerment that we like to use is a social action process in which individuals and groups act to gain mastery over their lives in the context of changing their social and political environment. And again, this is a definition of empowerment that really it's not grounded in individual behavior change at all. It's much more comprehensive. And this comes from Nina Wallerstein, a community-engaged academic at the University of New Mexico. So moving on. I'd like to touch here on the connection between health promotion and health equity. So Multnomah County Health Department is a leader in providing quality health services, but the fact remains that health inequities persist in Multnomah County. And we know from the research that the unifying factor among all the health inequities is powerlessness. The literature tells us that people who experience adverse social conditions and who have less power relative to other groups are at greater risk for disease and early death. Empowering health promotion addresses the relationship between equity, powerlessness, and health by supporting communities and individuals to gain greater control over the conditions that affect their lives. Conditions like poverty, unemployment, discrimination, and so forth. At Multnomah County Health Department, we say that empowering health promotion is the vehicle for achieving health equity. Or another way to think about this is health equity is the why and empowering health promotion is the how. So I'm going to pass it over to Rigita.
Thanks, Sam. First of all, forgive my throat. I'm getting over a little bit of a cold, and so my apologies. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the health promotion change process at the county to kind of share how we're trying to put the theories and concepts that Sam talked about into practice at the health department. So the goal of the health promotion change process, as you can see here, is to reduce health inequities and improve the health of people of Multnomah County. And the first objective is to increase health promotion competence at Multnomah County Health Department, where we're talking about health promotion as defined by the Ottawa Charter more holistically. And really, the idea behind this is that regardless of who someone is in the health department, whether they're frontline staff or they're a clinician, we can all, as health department employees, work in ways that empower our patients, empower community members, and as well as empower one another within the health department. We're also hoping that programs and services in the health department will coordinate and collaborate more with one another. This will help not only help to ensure that our services are more comprehensive and more consistent, but it will also help to empower colleagues to know that they're not in this alone and that we have support and resources within the health department. And finally, we're wanting to constantly evaluate both the process and the outcomes. And the outcomes may be more long-term, but both to improve on the change process, this is an organizational change effort, as well as to share our successes and our lessons learned with others. And so the way we are implementing the health promotion change process, I am a full-time staff person with the change process, and Samantha is part-time, but really the work happens via a health promotion community of practice. Has anyone in the room participated in a community of practice before? Or is anyone familiar with the community of practice, the community practice model? Okay, so there's, I believe he's an anthropologist, but his name is Etienne Wenger, and he's done a lot of work around communities of practice, and the way he defines a community of practice is a group of people who share a concern or passion for something they do and learn how to do it better as they interact regularly. And so here, the passion we're talking about is this passion to work in ways that empower one another and empower our communities more. And the community of practice at the health department is comprised of a group of colleagues who are, who actually, we can move on. I realize I'm going to talk a little bit more about how the community of practice implements the health promotion change process. It's a cross-functional group. So members of the community of practice represent various roles, various levels within the hierarchy of the health department, from, again, frontline staff to managers, and various educational backgrounds. They don't all come from a public health background, various education experiences, and all community of practice members commit to devoting 0.1 or 4 hours a week of their time to the health promotion change process. The health promotion community of practice convened in the summer of 2008, and as you all probably know, organizational change takes time. to do well, and it's necessarily and inherently a very long-term process. And so in that spirit, the community of practice spent the first year or so really just establishing a common knowledge base, because as I said, not everyone came from a public health background. And so really they met two times a month just to really kind of build trust within the group, create a supportive environment, and develop that collective knowledge foundation in the areas of empowering health promotion, empowerment, popular education, social determinants of health. And they also brought their own work and their own kind of struggles and projects that they were working on, and sought the expertise of their fellow community practice members around how they could address health equity and incorporate empowerment into their own work. We constantly are rotating. Members spend between 2 and 3 years on the community of practice, and we rotate community of practice members on and off the community of practice every couple of years. It's important for us to acknowledge that in order for people to really address health inequities outside the organization, they need to feel empowered to address their own work priorities. So we're really working at communicating the message to our health department colleagues that it's really important that we address health inequities and empowerment within the health department if we're able to really do this work externally as well. And finally, popular education really drives the work that we do with the health promotion change process. And I'm wondering, is anyone familiar with popular education, or can anyone describe what popular education is? Yeah,
I mean, Paulo Freire?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the concept that there's, well, I mean, the way I see it is usually it's easier ways for people to come about knowledge that you're finding. Like, people don't need a high level of education to learn about a health issue, for example, that you can make it interactive, and so people own the learning. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Derek. He summed it up really well, and I think he also unknowingly or knowingly really embraced some of the values of popular education in his own presentation, where he was talking about really valuing the community's expertise. So not only do folks not need a formal education, but people bring a lot of their own expertise and bring a lot of their own knowledge. Aspect of popular education that really drives the reasoning behind why we use it is that it has an explicit intention of a more just, equal, and democratic society. So this explicit intention of achieving social justice as a way for us to eliminate inequities in our community really is a way that we can incorporate this goal and embed it into all of our work. Again, as I just mentioned, it really recognizes and builds on the knowledge and strengths that people already have. It engages folks, and again, when I'm talking about engaging people and engaging community members, I'm talking first about engaging those members, those colleagues in our health department, not community members external to the health department. Engages them to identify problems, address roots of those problems, and I develop strategies to address those problems. And it also allows, popular education also allows empowerment to really guide the way that we work. Traditionally, relationships within government and between government and communities can be very top-down, and this really encourages us to take a very different approach that it emphasizes collaboration, working collectively, and partnership. And so in terms of what we're working on now with the health promotion change process, we are currently rolling out, so the community of practice has started facilitating introduction to empowering health promotion trainings the goal is to reach all health department staff by the end of 2012, and that's a staff of about 900. And this will be both to introduce some of those concepts of empowering health promotion as well as to talk more specifically about what it would look like. Because I think when we talk about empowering health promotion, it can feel very concrete. Not only that, but it can feel very abstract. And not only that, but it can look very different depending on who a person is in the health department and what kind of work they do. And so we're really trying to make that real for people.
We are also starting to offer technical assistance to colleagues, and technical assistance may range from a program that wants to start incorporating popular education in their team meetings to a clinic that wants to engage more with the community members who they serve so they can really make sure that community needs and the community voice is represented in the programs that they offer. And also, as I mentioned earlier, evaluating this process is very important to us. And in early 2010, we conducted a baseline survey to really look at health promotion competence, the levels to which our colleagues coordinate and collaborate across programs, and the extent to which staff feel empowered. We conducted that baseline survey in early 2010, and actually this upcoming week will be rolling out the same survey again to all staff to see if there's been any sort of shift in the last year and a half or so. So now we'd like to share just a couple of examples of what empowering health promotion looks like at the health department. And so the first example I'm going to talk about is OYE. And OYE is a coalition whose aim is to promote sexual health in Latino communities. And Molly Franks, who you'll see on the right there, is a health educator with the HIV, Hep C, STD program at our health department, and she's also a member of the community of practice. And the starting point for this coalition was that there are significant health disparities around in sexual health, particularly around chlamydia rates, as well as unplanned pregnancy, in Oregon specifically, as well as HIV nationally in the Latino community. And so it really makes sense for us as a health department to look at what the community needs are as they expressed, what the health disparities might be, and then to develop programs to respond specifically to those needs. And so OYE is a coalition comprised not only of Molly, but of social service providers and other community organizations. And they facilitate workshops in which they discuss sexuality, homophobia, gender roles, to work to reduce some of those inequities. And they use theater and popular education and all of the work that they do, and the work that kind of creates an environment where workshops are less threatening. It's a more comfortable environment. Even though Molly is the only paid staff person for this project, they share power. It's a non-hierarchical structure. They always have facilitators from the community with whom they're facilitating the workshops, participating as facilitators. I'll move on to Sam to share a couple more examples.
Thank you. So another example of how community of practice members have implemented empowering health promotion at the health department. One of our members is a manager at the North Portland Health Center, which is one of our several clinics. And her association with the community of practice has helped the clinic forge a strong connection with the community, a collaboration rather. And this has included connecting with a community-based community health worker program and recruiting community health workers to join the clinic's patient advisory council. And also with the support of the community of practice, the clinic has started organizing community-wide meetings with health and social service providers working in the clinic's catchment area in an effort to further integrate the clinical and community-based health promotion efforts. And finally, this collaboration has begun a community-based participatory research project that's focusing on the health outcomes for patients of the health center who are involved in the community health worker program. And in another example, one of the community practice's veteran members is using popular education for workforce development. She's working with trainers to develop activities that give new employees the opportunity to explore the essentials of public health, starting from the principle that new employees to the health department are already bringing a lot of knowledge and experience around public health to their new roles. She's also working with clinic staff to develop popular education-based trainings on cultural competency in the clinics. And the trainings are meant to engage staff around their current practices related to cultural competency and then building on these practices. I'm going to pass it back to Bridgette.
1 minute. Okay, I'm going to speak briefly about some limitations. As is happening nationwide, we're experiencing a lot of budget cuts at the health department, and so it's that much more important to really communicate that the health promotion change process is not just a fad initiative that we're trying to bring in, but it's really core and central to how we do our work. It's about shifting our paradigm. And kind of along with the budget cuts, we have fewer staff trying to accomplish just as much, and so it's really hard for folks to often prioritize either participation on the community of practice or just thinking about more consciously and explicitly thinking about how empowerment and equity play a role in their day-to-day work. It's always been a challenge maintaining diversity on the community practice itself. It's something we're constantly striving toward. Popular education can be hard. It takes time. People aren't always used to popular education. For example, it was hard to kind of weave popular education into a 20-minute PowerPoint presentation today, but we tried. And that's what we have to share with you today. And we wanted to close just with one quick quote from a community of practice member reflecting upon her participation. She shared that, "I see equity and empowerment now as tangible, obtainable, and within my control. It no longer feels like a theoretical concept because I'm exposed to examples of equity and empowerment at every meeting." Thank you.